Good morning. Boy, I could hear that. I scared myself. It is a thrill to have all of our guests with us today. It's been a while since we've had this many in the church. We have five baptisms this morning, which just thrills my heart. And so I thought it appropriate to bring a text on baptism. I know that many of us are probably from different backgrounds, so I'll tell you up front, I'm not trying to slam anybody's doctrine or dogma, but I do want to take a look this morning at what the scriptures say about baptism. If you're not familiar with the term dogma, the Bible is a book of doctrine. Paul told Timothy to guard his life and doctrine closely. Some Christian churches and Church of Christ, we treat doctrine like a dirty word. But the Bible is a book of doctrine. Dogma is the slant we take from doctrine. And many churches today don't really believe in the significance or the importance of baptism. I don't know where you stand on that personally. But today I just want to take a look at what the scriptures say. That's our authority. That should be our authority. What do the scriptures say on baptism? Before I bring the text, I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Holy Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for all that are here today. I'm thankful for those who have made this commitment to follow you. Jesus, you said no one could come to you unless the Father who sent you drew them. And I thank you for drawing these to you, Lord. I thank you for their obedience. I thank you for those who have come out to support them. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that has been thinking about this, that today that maybe they would make a decision one way or the other. Holy Spirit, I pray that I will decrease and that you will increase and bring this word to us in a way that touches our hearts. And I just pray everything that we say and do today will be for the glory of Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The text I chose today, it comes out of Romans 6, 1 through 4. Very quickly, the book of Romans, Paul is debating with some of the false teachers that had come into church, and they were trying to teach the law of Moses. If you remember in the book of Acts, it said certain went out and told the Gentiles, unless you're circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. Well, this was going on in the church, and Paul, in his treatise to the Romans, his epistle, he does an excellent job differentiating between grace and works of the law. And there was a thought come up that is called antinomianism. That's a theological term. It simply means against law. And so some of the teachers, false teachers, said, since we're not under the law, it doesn't matter how we live. You know, once we're saved by grace, it doesn't matter how we live. And Paul is refuting these doctrines. But he speaks of baptism in here. And I wanted this to be our launching board this morning, the text that we're going to use to talk about what do the scriptures say. I will do my best to leave my dogma off to the side. And as I said, it's not my intention to offend anyone, but all I ask is that you listen with open hearts to what the Word of God says about baptism, the ordinance of baptism. Our text is Romans 6, 1 through 4. I've entitled it Baptism, A New Beginning. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. As I said, many churches today argue about the significance of baptism. When should you be baptized? What does baptism signify? And it's not my intention today to argue or to debate with anyone, but I just want to take a look at what do the scriptures say. I shared with the group here that I participated in a baptism years ago. I was an associate in a church, and these people said they wished to be baptized. We went to the creek, and they said in their testimony, we've been Christians for 7 years. And they were members of this church, and they said, we've never been baptized. And that just blew me away. After the baptism, I got the husband offside, and I said, why not? And I had brought a message on baptism, not bragging on me, but I'd brought a message on it. He said, I never heard anybody preach it. He said, I just wasn't told that it was important or significant. And he said, after we heard that message, me and my wife decided, you know, we need to be baptized. And that's a sad state in the church today. Now, I went to Bible college. I understand how denominations were formed. One group break away from another. And very often, they were guilty of throwing the baby out with the washwater. They would break away from one church and say, well, we're not going to believe what this church believes. We don't teach this. And they would throw everything out. And it's sad to me. The Bible is the Word of God. And I've heard some churches today say, well, it's not necessarily infallible because people wrote it. Well, my answer to that is, then how do you know you're saved? Well, the Bible says, no, you can't do that. As far as I'm concerned, you can't take one piece of the Bible and say, well, I believe this part, so I'm saved, but I choose not to believe the rest. So we're going to talk about baptism a little this morning. And as I said, I just want to present to you what the scriptures say. Well, let's leave dogma at the door. Let's just take a look at the Word of God. What does it say? Is baptism important? Jesus thought it was. If you remember when John the Baptist came baptizing, he said he came preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus came to him to be baptized. Now, Jesus is the sinless Son of God. He never sinned. And John tried to stop him. And John protested and he said, I need to be baptized by you. And if you've read it, the Lord said, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Now, later he rebuked the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Jewish religious leaders, because they refused John's baptism. And if you remember, the Lord asked them a question. They got in a holy huddle and had a little debate. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? If you're familiar with that passage, they said, well, if we say from heaven, he'll say, then why didn't you believe it? But if we say from men, the people will stone us because they held that John was a prophet. And they said, well, we don't know. They just passed the buck. What they were saying is, we don't want to say. And Jesus said, then I'm not going to tell you what you've asked me. But the Bible plainly states that the baptism of John was ordained by God. John didn't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'm going to start baptizing people. I'm going to start a church and call it the Baptist Church. That's not what happened. John was commissioned by God to baptize for the forgiveness of sins. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. And if you're familiar with scriptures, he was the one that God prophesied about in Isaiah and said he would come in the spirit of Elijah. And what was sad is a lot of the religious people of Jesus' day didn't see it. They didn't like the way John preached. They didn't like the way John dressed. You know, so they didn't want anything to do with John's baptism. And the sad thing is that baptism was ordained by God. In the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, the number one main reason I believe that a person needs to be baptized who wishes to follow Christ is because the Lord commanded it. Peter, James, Paul, Philip, Andrew, Matthew, they didn't sit around and dream this up and say, we got to get some kind of liturgical order together. Liturgy is what, you know, you call a religious order. We got to get some liturgical order together so we can have some kind of format to go by in the church service. Jesus commanded it. Now, it's sad. The Christian church is known as the Restoration. Several churches came out of that movement. We're big on baptism, but we fall way short on discipleship. Church, once you come to follow Christ, it's the church's responsibility to disciple you, to teach you, to train you about what the Word of God says. And not just talk to you, to lead by example. So I'll be the first to admit, we fall way short. We're big on the baptism. Yeah, get them baptized. Got to baptize them. But then it's like sometimes we turn people loose and say, well, now you're on your own. Do the best you can. See, you're only filling part of the commission. It's called the Great Commission, and I spoke with a missionary one time. He said, I don't know why we call it the Great One. It was actually the only one the Lord gave. Make disciples. What's a disciple? Someone who chooses to follow Jesus Christ. I think the Hebrew word is taladim. And a disciple wants not only to know what their master knows, they want to be just like their master. So you see, when you come and say, I want to be baptized into Christ, this is what you're saying. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be just like Jesus. Baptism should not be taken lightly. It's not a liturgy. It's not something that the church dreamed up. This is something that God has ordained. And I've heard the arguments for years. Well, how does being baptized in water do anything, affect you in any way? I have no idea. Other than God commanded it. So baptism is what you are doing is by faith you are obeying what God has told you to do. I sometimes think if God said to stand on your head and whistle Dixie, a lot of people have less problem with that than baptism itself. I mean it. I've talked to people and about baptism. You know, they want to follow Christ. Well, you need to be baptized into Christ. And the people that I've had the most problems with are the people that's grown up in church. Well, our church doesn't believe that. I had one guy get in my face and say, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. I said, yes, it is. Amen. But I said, when's it applied? Well, I believe when you say the sinner's prayer. I said, where's that in the scriptures? That's dogma. That's not doctrine. Now, is the sinner's prayer important? Yes. Baptism doesn't do any good if you don't have faith. You know, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God, and it's your wish to follow Him, baptism immediately follows that, or should. Baptism is a public proclamation to the world, to all those around you, to your family and to your friends, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. It bothers me that so many in the church today don't believe in the significance of it. Or we argue about the mode or the method. You know, do you immerse them? Do you pour? Do you sprinkle? Do you dunk them one time or three times? Or do you hold them under till they really repent? Now, I said I wasn't going to get into dogma. I'm trying to leave my dogma at the door. I've asked you to do the same. But I'm a firm believer in baptism by immersion. And I've had people call me a water regenerationist. Infant baptism is pure baptismal regeneration, if you want to talk about that doctrine. Peter said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. A baby can't repent. What's repent mean? It means turn around. It means I'm going this way and I'm going to turn and go this way. I've been walking my way, I'm going to go God's way. Now, if I've been asked, are you saying if you've never been baptized, you can't go to heaven? I'm not going to tell you that because I'm not God. But what I am going to tell you is if God commands it, you're playing with fire if you refuse it. Now, Paul, in this text, he enjoined baptism into dying with Christ, dying to self, and being raised in the newness of life. Paul said, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. That's Paul, that's not Rick. If you would bother to read church history, for the first 3 centuries of the church, baptism was enjoined to conversion. Philip shared the gospel with a eunuch. And it said they came to water, and the eunuch said, here's water, what keeps me from being baptized? I believe when Philip presented the gospel, he presented baptism with it. Well, our church doesn't believe that way. Okay. I don't believe that way. That's fine. But remember, we're not here today to talk about what you believe and what I believe. What I'm saying is, what does the Word say? We profess, most of us profess that the Bible is the written Word of God. Some have dropped the infallible and inerrant, trying to get along with the world. But that's what's important, church. What does the Word say? This section here in Romans isn't the only place that Paul uses this metaphor in comparing baptism to what happens. He said to the church at Colossae, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Now you see there, Paul enjoined faith and baptism. It'd be foolish for me to stand up and preach baptism. That'd be baptismal regeneration. If I just said you need to be baptized. Faith is the motivation for baptism. I hope it's the motivation of our candidates here this morning. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You must believe that he came and died for your sins. And you must be saying through baptism, I want to follow you. People's asked me, you know, why did God enjoin that? I don't know. I'm not God. When you get to heaven, you can ask him. All I know is this is what the Word says. Paul and the other apostles, what they were telling us is, look, if you decide to follow Christ and you make this commitment, don't be ashamed of it. Be baptized. And when you're baptized into Christ, Paul said you are dying to the old self. You are identifying with Christ's death. You're saying, yes, I want to die like Jesus died for me, but I'm going to die to myself. And when you come up out of the water, Paul said it signifies you've been raised to a new life in Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything to do with my old life. I am thankful for the new life that Jesus Christ gave me. When I came to Christ, I prayed. And I got down on my knees, and I've told you I couldn't have prayed in the church because I was confessing my sins out loud. People would have been freaking out and going out the, all the exits they could have because I was a pretty scuzzy guy. And for 2 weeks after I prayed, it kept gnawing on me, you need to be baptized, you need to be baptized. I didn't go talk to a preacher. I didn't go talk to another Christian. I just started reading the Bible. For the first time in years. My wife used to get mad at me because she said, you'll close yourself in that bedroom and spend 2 or 3 hours reading the Bible. You spend more time reading the Bible than you do talking to me. Oh. I couldn't help it. It was alive. The Word was speaking to me. And I kept thinking, you need to be baptized. And I finally gave in and said, okay, I'd been baptized twice as a kid. But you know what? It didn't take. I didn't know what I was doing. First time I was coming to this church over here, and they told me if you're going to take communion, you got to be baptized. Well, I wanted to take communion. Everybody else was taking it. So let's get baptized. Second time, the same thing. I didn't understand what I was doing. So did baptism make me a Christian? No. But when I realized that night in February of 1984 how vile and wicked I was in God's sight, I hit my knees and I said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I walked from Odin, Missouri to Mansfield. Our car was broke. Because I didn't know any better. I thought a preacher had to baptize me. And I walked 15 miles. Not boat bragging. But that's how determined I was. And in fact, when I left the house, I told my wife, well, God will get me a ride. Well, God didn't give me a ride. I walked 15 miles. And when I got down here, my feet hurt. But, you know, I said, God, you got a sense of humor. But the preacher that baptized me, God hadn't delivered him from orneriness. He took me down here to Bryant Creek in February, 10 o'clock at night. There was ice around the edges. And when he socked me under, I'll never forget, he shouted out with the old in with the new, hallelujah. And he yelled, praise God. When he brought me up, I just yelled. It took my breath away. But I'll tell you something. I had a peace I'd never known all my life. Well, it was the water that gave me the peace. No. I had finally, for the first time in my life, I had obeyed God. And like that sinful woman that washed his feet in my head, I heard the voice of my Lord say, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Baptism, church, is very significant and very important. It's God's commandment. I am so thankful for those who have come forward this morning and well, actually, it's been a while back, told me we want to be baptized into Christ. And I thought this morning I wanted to bring a text to talk about the significance of baptism because so many churches today downplay it. And I'm not putting people down. I'm just saying we've lost our way somewhere. And I think the main reason is we've got away from the Word. We've got more into dogma than we have the doctrine of Scripture. Paul said to the church at Galatia, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith, for as many as you as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ. Why do we have a problem with that in the church? This isn't accusatory. It's just something to think about. Why do we have such a problem with that? Well, I can tell you why. In a nutshell, it goes against dogma. That's just not what our church believes. Well, maybe your church needs to rethink what they believe. I'm standing here as a brother in Christ. I'm not here to anger you. To debate, to anger, you know, to make you feel bad about what you're believing. But I'm saying, what does the Word say? That ought to be bottom line for any believer in Christ. Read the Word. What does the Word say? I became close friends with a man he went to this different church, and they were Sabbath worshipers Saturday, and they also believed you had to keep the Levitical dietary laws, and you know, and he and I had a lot of good visits, never argument, just good visits. And I told him, I said, I read Ellen White's book. Well, that thrilled him. He said, what'd you think of it? I said, the history was very faulty. And I asked him, have you ever read the New Testament? He said, well, our pastor stays in the old. I said, well, I can see why, because if he wants to keep you under the law, he's going to have to. And you know, that man and I never had an argument, never had a hard feeling, never had a hard discussion. But we both knew where each other stood. And I encouraged him the same thing. I said, look, when he died, his wife gave me all of his books. I've got them somewhere on the teachings of this church. I said, do me a favor, put those books down for a little while and read the Word. See what the Word says. For me, that takes all confusion away. All of us have opinions. They're like armpits. They usually stink. What does the Word say? That's the question I think we need to ask ourselves. I know we all have our own slant on it. I am convinced that when we stand before Jesus, many of us, including preachers, are going to say, wow, I thought I had that figured out. And the Lord's going to say, no, you didn't have it all figured out. But He's a gracious and merciful God. Some of the passages I've shared, it's very evident to me that the apostles saw the significance of it. They enjoined baptism into conversion. And you can walk out of here today and say, I disagree. I can still get along with you. We have five people that's wanted to be baptized into Christ this morning. And this thrills my heart. Now, I entrust that God's the one dealing with them, not me. I'm just a messenger. I said this morning, no one can come to God, no one can come to Jesus Christ unless the Father draws them. So when people come and talk to me about baptism, I see that as God is drawing them. He's working with them. But I just want people to understand, when you're committing to baptism, you are publicly committing that you are going to follow Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, sinless, never make mistakes. That's not what it means. But it means that you are publicly declaring before the witnesses, I'm going to follow Jesus. As Joshua said, you do what you want, me and my house are going to follow the Lord.